سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأما من آمن وعمل صالحا فله جزاء الحسنى وسنقول له من أمرنا يسرا. ثم أتبع سببا حتى إذا بلغ مطلع الشمس وجدها تطلع على قوم لم نجعل لهم من دونها سترا. كذلك وقد أحطنا بما لديه خبرا. ثم أتبع سببا. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, we are doing Surah Kahf for a few weeks, and now we're in Para 16, where we are discussing the incident of Hazrat Zulkarnain alayhim salam. Hazrat Zulkarnain, Allah Ta'ala gave him a lot of powers. He was made a king of a very vast area, and Allah Ta'ala told him to travel also. Now, whatever he discovered during his journey, last week we discussed, they met a nation by the seaside that were disobedient and sinful servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we explained that the word zulm, oppression, got different meanings. One is somebody else cause harm to an innocent person, or robbers, thief kill the person. Oppressive rulers make our brothers, sisters and children shaheed. Allah grant our shuhada the highest rank in Jannah. In this verse, قَالَ أَمَّا مَنْ ظَلَمَ فَسَوْفَ نُعَذِّبُهُ ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ فَيُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا نُكْرًا. Verse number 87, para 16 in Surah Kahf. Allah, in this verse, oppression means you commit a major sin that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the namzu, kufur and shirk. They worship idols, or worship the sun, the moon, anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they don't follow the Nabi of the time. So Allah Ta'ala says, and Zulkarnain says, these people are oppressing themselves. I will punish them if they don't come straight. First educate them. And those that did not accept the true message of Islam, not change their life. As a ruler, it was his position to cause harm to them, punish them. Now, today's verse I've recited, verse number 88. وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُ جَزَاءً الْحُسْنَى وَسَنَقُولُ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبَهُ. Whoever brings iman and do good actions, as for him who believes and does good deeds, he shall be a most beautiful reward, and we will speak mildly of him with regard to our affairs. In this verse, Allah gives the virtues that whoever brought iman, does good action, Allah will give them great reward in this world and the akhirah. And Allah will make things easy for him, a way out from every difficulty. Today also, there's the ayat of the Quran, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْسُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever fear Allah, whatever problem we are facing, come to Salah, Quran, and we are Darul Asbab. You adopt the necessary means. If you are sick, read Salatul Hajat, make dua, and visit the doctor also. if you need a job, employment, income. Reach Salah, make dua, and then look for some employment, look for some business. Allah will make everything easy for us. Then he traveled again. Hatta iza balagha matli'a ash-shamsi wajadaha tatlu'u ala qawmin lam naj'al lahum min duniha sitra. Verse number 90. Until Zulkarnain reached the place where the sun rose, he found it rising upon a nation to whom we had not given any veil against it. Zulkarnain came to another group of people, another nation, that they did not have built up buildings, whether simple or good. They should live in the open. And there was no veil between them and the sky. When the sun used to rise, the sun would be on them. And sometime when it used to rain, they take shelter under a tree or some other natural trees, etc., gardens or flowers where they can cover themselves. They cover themselves. And then until he reached the place where the sun rose, he found it rising upon a nation to whom we had not given any veil against it. Verse number 91, كَذَلِكَ وَقَدْ أَحَطْنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا. This is how it was, and we surely had knowledge of everything that he possessed. Now Allah Ta'ala gave him the knowledge, and Allah Ta'ala controls everything. Remember, the Anbiya Ikram alayhim salatu wasalam get direct divine wahi revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the pious servants of Allah subhanahu, they get ilham. You know, they say two people don't regret in the decisions. One is you make mashara with the pious personality of the ulama, imam of the masjid for some important personal matter. Example, you get your son married, daughter married. You want to go to live in another town or something. You make mashara, somebody that is pious. The other is you make istikhara. The short is Allahumma khirli wa akhtarli. Ya Allah, you put the correct decision in me. And even you can read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tasliman kaseeran kaseera. And especially after any faras salah in the masjid, with undivided attention, you focus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, Ya Allah, I'm to make this decision and give my daughter in nikah to so and so person, or make my son married to so and so person, or I'm going to open up another business, or I'm traveling for Umrah or Hajj, or in the path of Allah. Ya Allah, you make it easy for me, and whatever is best for me in your knowledge, you make the decision accordingly. Now, generally in the December holiday period, a lot of people travel. First of all, as Muslims, we only travel for good reasons. We don't travel to venues of vice and sin. We don't travel to go to a cinema, nightclub, disco, or any venue where openly major sins are committed. If we're traveling for Umrah, going to Makkah, Medina, going to Masjid al-Aqsa, the three harams, it's a very good and noble journey. Or we are traveling to visit our relatives, whether close by or but in a distance. Whatever good intentions we do, Allah will make our journey easy, insha'Allah al-Aziz. I'll just read a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. عن أبر بن شعيب بن عبي جدي رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الراكب شيطان والراكبان شيطانان والسلاسة ركب رواه أبو داود والترمذي والنسائي بإسناد صحيح. حضرت أمر بن شعيب narrates from his father, who narrates from his grandfather رضي الله عنه, that our beloved Rasulullah said, a person traveling alone is one devil. 2% traveling together are two devils, shaitans. 3% traveling together are a group mentioned in the famous Hadith Kitab in Abu Dawud, Hadith number 2606, in Tirmidhi 1674. Now, one is you're going for a short journey somewhere nearby, just half an hour you're going and you're coming back. You're going to your work, or you got a doctor's appointment, or you're going for a haircut, or you're going to buy some groceries from a nearby town, from the supermarket, it's understood. The other is you are traveling in a long distance, and more than 78 kilometers, and you may spend the night over. So in that instance, the teaching of Rasulullah is that if you travel alone, you can become the victim of shaitan, where you may end up doing something haram. Sometimes while traveling and you are alone, you stop by a stop street or a robot, an immoral woman can entice you to commit adultery, zina. Or the other worldly benefit is you have security. If you travel with other people, you'll have security. Two people also traveling is also shaitan can overpower you. And three people travel, that is a beautiful jamaat. And when three people are traveling, choose pious companions who have good qualities in them, that when salah time comes, they read salah. And while traveling, they don't have a desire to go to venues of vice and sin like cinema, gambling places, casino, etc. One Abi Sa'id wa Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu maqala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إذا خرج ثلاثة في سفر فليؤمروا أحدهم حديث حسن. Abu Sa'id radiyallahu narrates and Abu Hurairah radiyallahu narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when three people go out on a journey, they should appoint one of them as the leader. Mentioned Abu Dawud, Hadith number 2608. Normally when you're traveling on a long journey for 3 days, a month, or 40 days, 4 months, whatever, now there are certain important decisions to be made. Now if we make mashura, appoint one person as the Amir, everybody can give the suggestion, and sometimes there are traveling expenses that everybody have to shoulder the responsibility of the traveling expenses. Also a way to stop for salah, and you need to spend the night somewhere. So we make mashwara and whatever Allah puts in the heart of the Amir, where to spend the night, in the hotel or guest house or which town. Or sometimes people have some relatives living in certain towns and they don't mind you coming to their home. You stay at their home also. But very, very important, you must consider the financial position of the host and must also consider the size of a home and flat the host have. If they got a small one-bedroom flat, a small two-bedroom flat, and they're from a middle or low income, and don't be a burden on them. They may tell you no. But if somebody happily, a blood relative, they're happy to see you, and they've got a nice big house, and you don't go very often also. Also, there's one teaching of Rasulullah that you don't go visit somebody so often where your value comes less, where they don't appreciate you coming anymore. That this man, he only comes lunchtime and only comes supper time to eat. So they'll get tired of you. So you mustn't be like a, say, mafatiya, you know, in our language they say. But now and then some close relatives, maybe once a year, or once in 6 months or something, you're traveling past, you go visit them, then it is understood. The other aspects of traveling, Allah make it easy for all of us. What is the beautiful dua to be recited? When a person is traveling, he should recite, Subhanallazi sakharana haza wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi safarina haza al birra wa taqwa wa min al amali ma tarda.
اللهم هون علينا سفرنا هذا واتوي عنا بعده. اللهم أنت الصائب في السفر والخليفة في الأهل. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من وأساء السفر وكآبة المنظر وسوء المنقلب في المال والأهل والولد. The translation: Glory and all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave control, this conveyance. Today we have modern day modes of transit, vehicles, trains, buses, aeroplanes. During the golden era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mode of transport was animals, horseback, camelback, donkey, oxen, cart, etc. And Allah Ta'ala made the human such that this huge animal came under the control of human and they're using it for traveling. Today we have vehicles. Allah make our journey easy, but it's Allah that will protect us from accidents and calamities. I just do the English meaning quickly. O Allah, we ask you righteousness and piety in this journey of ours, and the ability to do good deeds which you are pleased with. O Allah, make easy for us this journey and shorten its destination for us. O Allah, you alone are the companion in the journey and the protector of the family. O Allah, seek refuge in you from the difficulties of the journey, from seeing undesirable things and experiencing an evil condition upon my return as regards to my wealth, family and children. Now what a beautiful dua. Normally when we leave our home, everyone concerned of his wife and children, worried about his business, worried about his employment. And in this dua, we are making dua to Allah that you take care of whatever I left behind, my family members, my business, my job, whatever. And when I return from my journey, I don't want to see any harm or any loss came in my business, any harm to my family members or anything. And sometimes we make this dua and person goes out in the path of Allah, Umrah, Hajj, going for 40 days, 4 months, whatever, going to do relief work amongst the poor. The ulama ikram are 24/7 in the khidmat of deen. The ulama that teach in the afternoon madrasa, hifz classes, darul looms. Our senior ulama go on a lecture tour from town to town, city to city. They're all in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and must have love for our imams of the masjid and all the ulama ikram. Now in this dua we are making that when we return, we must not return in a condition that some harm came. An Jabir radiyallahu anhu qala kunna iza sa'idna kabbarna wa iza nazalna sabbahna. Rawahu al-Bukhari. Hazrat Jabir narrates, we used to see Allahu Akbar when ascending and Subhanallah when descending. When we're going up the hill, recite Allahu Akbar, whether walking or the vehicle, going down it, Subhanallah. And those are traveling by the aeroplane, the elephants taking off, recite Allahu Akbar. When landing, recite Subhanallah. And keep the tasbih in our pocket. And we must not listen to music while traveling in our vehicles or even in the aeroplanes, wherever music is haram. Rather listen to Quran or listen to lectures of some senior ulama. Allah give you and all of us the tawfiq of practicing.